On this episode, my guest is Ryan Levy. Ryan is the owner and founder of Cruit Group. It's not pronounced Cruit, like I made the mistake of pronouncing, but it's short for recruiting. So Cruit Group, they're a local recruiting group specializing in a variety of fields with a focus on relationships. Ryan has always had that entrepreneurial bug growing up in a family of entrepreneurs. Now in this episode, we talk about the right time to start a business, what goes into recruiting, and Ryan shares his top tips for anyone looking for their next employer. If you enjoy this episode, do me a huge favor, subscribe to it, and leave us a review. Now let's jump into this episode. Ryan Levy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, this will be fun. So we go back to high school.
Yes.
We played a little baseball together.
Sure did, man.
Back in the day.
The good old days.
Yeah. Fun times. But we're here today because we want to talk about your business, right? Cruit Group. I've been following you since you've kind of started Cruit Group and kind of curious about that business and what you do. And then we'll talk about your other business as well.
Cool. Yeah, sounds good. To start, it's Cruit Group.
Cruit?
Like recruit.
Oh, okay. I got you.
No, it's funny. You know, I never thought of that, I guess, because I've been in the industry so long.
Yeah.
But when I talk to new customers or new candidates, that is a common mistake. So I won't hold it against you. But yeah, we've been... I started Cruit Group about 3.5 years ago. So I've been in the recruiting industry going on 12 years now. So I guess I'm an industry veteran. But started my recruiting career in Chicago in 2012. I believe it was 2012. And moved to California after 8 years, spent a couple of years there. But finally started my own firm. Always knew I always wanted to start my own firm. And finally did it a few years back. And it's been fun. It's been a big learning experience for me. And we've grown exponentially, especially in 2023. So looking forward to a big 24.
Yeah. So take us back to the beginning, like getting into the recruiting business. Is that something you're always interested in, or how'd that come about?
No, definitely not something I was interested in. I guess to take a step back even further, I've always been an entrepreneur. You know, growing up, I flipped baseball cards and washed cars, mowed lawns. My sister owns a hair salon in Eastlake. I used to run that place in high school and in college when she was having kids. So I've always had the entrepreneurial itch. After college, didn't know what I wanted to do. I'm a people person, knew I wanted to do some sort of sales, and I've always been money motivated. So honestly, the only reason I got into recruiting was because I saw these 23, 24, 25-year-olds out of college, friends, making a ton of money. So I just decided to get into recruiting. And that's honestly the only reason I got into it. And then I really fell in love with the business. So I started with a Tampa-based company, actually, in Chicago, a company called K-Force, publicly traded firm. Really good training. So I went through the process with them. I spent 6 years with them and then went to a smaller firm before ultimately starting my own.
Okay. So talk to me about the recruiting business, or one, like, what do you love about, what did you fall in love with? Like, what was that piece?
I think it's just, you're constantly learning every single day. Yeah. You know, I'm big on knowledge, like knowledge is power. Right. But it's also, you're helping people, right? It's super rewarding to help someone advance in their career or help them land their dream job or help them land a job at a dream company. Mm-hmm. So to me, that aspect of it is really cool. And if you're doing something that you enjoy or you're passionate about, the money follows, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes it quite enjoyable as well.
Yeah. Do you think it could have been any other business? Like if you're helping somebody?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you could say that in sales, you could say that in marketing, you could say that in a lot of different industries, right?
Yeah.
If it's something you're passionate about and you're helping people, I think, you know, you can definitely have that same effect.
Yeah, I think, because I think back to like when I started into real estate, like I was, you know, I wanted to be an investor.
Right.
And I've talked about that before, but 2 years in, I was like, I'll save money, then I'll start investing in real estate. And then
right.
2 years in, I fell in love with the business for that, those same reasons, right? You're helping people. The relationships, the connections, like,
for sure.
You know, that journey is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely see the correlations there. I actually used to want to be in real estate myself.
Yeah.
You know, I like nice things and helping people.
The money.
Of course. Yeah, the money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of correlations there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So talk to me about like your I guess your job or like your day to day for anybody, because I'm not familiar with like how the recruiting role works, and I guess explain that.
Yeah. So there's basically two worlds in recruiting. You have corporate recruiters and then you have agency recruiters. I'm on the agency side. So basically what that means, on the corporate side, you work for one company. You work internally for a company. Okay. Let's just say Facebook, for example. Facebook hires thousands of people every year. They have a huge team of internal recruiters, and that's all they do is work on Facebook jobs. The agency side essentially works with all sorts of different companies that spend money to hire outside agencies to fill their jobs. So that's really what our focus is. Being that we're a smaller firm, we tend to focus on startups, smaller to mid-sized businesses. Like here locally in Tampa now, we work with several law firms, mm-hmm. from people that I grew up with and things of that nature. So just more of a focus now on smaller to medium-sized businesses.
Mm-hmm. So it's you're connecting with the different businesses, trying to get them to hire you to help them with recruiting?
Yeah. So we operate on a contingency basis. So basically that just means they don't pay us until we're successful in finding them a candidate. Okay. So on the agency side, there's basically two sides of the business as well. You have the recruitment side where you're going out and finding candidates for jobs. And then you have basically the sales side. And the sales side in the recruiting agency world is essentially going out there and trying to connect with businesses that are having trouble hiring, or just having difficulty bringing in the right talent or attracting the right talent. They don't necessarily know how to do that, how to grow. Mm-hmm. So basically we go out and get job orders and bring them back to the recruiting team, who then go and find the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there like a standard, like it takes, you know, X amount of months or whatever to find or fill a position, or? It depends on the business, I imagine.
Yeah, I think it depends on how good the recruiters are, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we pride ourselves on is how quickly we're able to identify and attract talent. Of course, there's several methods to do that. But I would say on average, if you know, Donnie wanted to go hire an assistant in the realty world, it might take you 60 to 90 days to find someone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, too, is convenience, right? Let's take a managing partner at an attorney for an example, or at a law firm for example. They might have the resources and financial ability to post a job on LinkedIn or ZipRecruiter or whatever site you want to use. What happens is then they get hundreds of applications, and they don't have time to go through them.
Yeah.
And they have to filter an interview, and it's a very long and grueling process. When you're working with a recruitment agency, they take care of all that stuff for you. And they headhunt.
Yeah. And then you're just interviewing the right person.
Right. We get to know our client's culture, you know, their must-haves.
Yeah.
Of course, like salary requirements, benefits, all that type of stuff. So essentially, we're going out there and selling the company on behalf of the company,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's fun. So let's go back to starting Crew Group.
Yep.
When did you know that? You know, you talked about like always having that entrepreneur itch. Like, when did you know that, like, okay, I'm going to start my own business now?
Probably a year or two in. Like, I knew it was the end goal. Once I learned the business and saw the potential, I always knew that was the end goal. So I basically started as a recruiter, moved into sales, moved into leadership. I managed a very big sales team at K-Force at one point. And I kind of always just knew that in the end I would own my own firm. You know, I saw the inner workings of a large firm, mm-hmm. and what it takes to operate any type of staffing agency or recruitment agency, because it's really all the same no matter the size.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely knew at an early age, and or early in my career, I should say. And I made the move to a smaller firm in Chicago because I wanted to prove to myself that I could start from scratch somewhere else before I started my own firm.
Okay.
So it's all, you know, like chess pieces, strategic moves throughout my career to get to where I am now. So I spent 2.5 years at a smaller firm, and, you know, had to start my book of business from scratch again because I had a non-compete and all that. And finally ripped the bandaid off and went all in on my own firm after 2.5 years at the small firm in Chicago.
Yeah. Was there, Was there any like itch to start earlier? So you started in recruiting, 1 to 2 years in, you know, like this is going to be your career.
Right.
And then you know that at some point, like you want to start your own business. Like, why not start it 2 years in or like, you know?
Yeah, I think there was definitely thoughts of it. Even before I went to the smaller firm in Chicago for a couple of years, I almost did it then. And my father was willing to float me the money or the investment to do that. He passed away about 6 years ago. So rest in peace. He'd be proud of me now that I finally did it.
For
but
sure.
I definitely had the urge and one of my mentors kind of talked me out of it. So I think the timing was right for me for sure. Because in the recruiting business, it's a very relationship driven business. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, independent recruiters out there that don't have experience and, you know, they're just good salespeople, but ultimately a lot of those people fail because they don't know what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. You can get opportunity if you can sell, but like if you can't deliver, you know, your opportunities are pretty limited, right?
Yeah, right.
So I just think it was time, you know, you have to put in the time and build the relationships to ultimately be truly successful, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I think that's I think about that in real estate. I think now in real estate, like bigger teams are a big thing. And so new agents getting into the business, like a lot of them are joining teams. And I think there's definitely some positives to that. I went the route of like, you know, just being a solo agent.
Right.
Probably took a little bit longer to learn the business and learn things.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, but so like having a team, having mentors and stuff is powerful.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think working at a bigger agency helped me ultimately. I worked in like your typical like boiler room sales environment when I first started. It was like, you know, I used to go under my desk with my hard phone, like, you know, before cell phone. I mean, cell phones were around. I'm not that old, but like we still use desk phones, yeah, you know, and like I'd go under my desk because it was so loud and like footballs were flying across the room just to try to close a deal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to a smaller firm and it's a lot different. But I mean, to your point on mentorship, like that's something that's been important to me throughout my entire career. And like,
yeah.
I try to be a good mentor to the people that work with me now.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. What do you see the use of? I read some stats on like AI affecting recruiting and that sort of stuff. Like, how is that like intertwined into your business?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've always been like somewhat techie.
Yeah.
I mean, even the first 8 years of my career, I only did technology recruiting. Now we mix it up and do pretty much anything, just depending on the relationships. But I use it daily, honestly. Like I utilize ChatGPT for various things, whether it's, you know, writing an email or a sales campaign for automation, like automated emails and things like that, or helping with social media posts or writing a job description. Like the fact that you can write a job description in like 30 seconds now or less is incredible.
Right.
So I certainly see the value in it, and I will always be willing to utilize new technology. At the same time, I've heard since I started recruiting that like robots were going to take our jobs or AI was going to take our jobs way back then.
Yeah.
I think what'll happen is it'll weed out the bad recruiters and it'll make the good recruiters even better. You know, if you can just utilize technology to become more efficient or a better writer or whatever it is, because there's recruiting is sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can utilize technology just to become a better salesperson, why wouldn't you do it? I think the people that don't evolve are the ones that are going to die, for lack of better words. Yeah. I'm a big evolve or die guy, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's always going to be that human aspect, right? Just like in real estate, like that human connection and that relationship will always be important. Like you can't have AI do all of your recruiting and like talking to candidates and things like that. That human element is still going to be there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I agree. I think the relation, any relationship business and most businesses are like, you know, there's a relationship at the center of any deal or anything like that, right? So
yep.
I think that keeps, I agree, like it keeps like the ones that are evolving and using technology, it keeps them in the business and makes them even better at what they're doing anyway.
What's up, Palm Harbor? It's your host, Donnie Hathaway. If you are looking to stay up to date with all things Palm Harbor, then visit my website. It's palmharborlocal.com. Super simple. You can sign up there, join the locals, where I'll be sharing more information on local events, local history, and what's happening in Palm Harbor. You know, I really want to create and add more value to you as a listener for spending your valuable time tuning into my podcast. So join me there, keep listening, and remember, together, we keep Palm Harbor local.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I use it for contracts now too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to spend a ton of money to hire an attorney to write me a contract or,
yeah.
I know it's not foolproof, right? Like I don't just like put something in ChatGPT and I'm like, and then I let it rip,
yeah.
You know, like I'm going to read it. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to be like, no, you need to change this, you know, but, it's cool that you can use it for things like that. I mean, I use it to write master service agreements and statements of work and all sorts of different things. You know, and I do have an attorney that I've shown him like, hey, like this is, and he's like, yeah, hey, this looks pretty good. I changed this, but you know, the thing is smart.
Right.
So use it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see like how the attorney's role like changes too, right? Because, you know, if you can just draft your own contracts and that sort of stuff, maybe you have them, you know, to review things or whatnot.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you know how to, the biggest thing with AI and ChatGPT specifically, or whatever you're using, Google Bard or whatever they call it, you know, I think it's, you have to learn how to prompt the thing, right?
Like
that's the big thing, is learn how to talk to the machine. And if you can effectively talk to the machine and coach it, you know, the sky's the limit. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is. All right, so I have a couple of stats here, and I want to kind of get your reaction to them. So one thing I found, 86% of professionals prefer remote work at least part-time. Are you seeing a lot of that?
Yeah. It's been an interesting evolution in the professional workforce. Mm-hmm. I personally prefer remote work still to this day. I worked remote a good amount before COVID, and then naturally during COVID, fully transitioned to remote work. Crew Group is all remote, but at the same time, I certainly see the value in face to face interaction and face to face work, because you can learn a lot just by being around people in the same profession as you and listening to them on the phone or being in a meeting with them, whatever the situation is. So I certainly see the value of it, but we've seen a major shift across corporate America and startups, whatever you want to call it, where they're definitely pushing more return to office and less flexibility. But ultimately, I think the companies that will succeed the most and continue to grow are the ones that are offering like a flexible first environment. You know, I think people realized during COVID that they can be just as effective, if not more effective, when they're remote. But also, not everyone can succeed in that environment.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a unique person who's very disciplined to be able to be 100% remote. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, I can see both sides of the coin, but I think the companies that are mandating 5 days a week on site, like that's just such an old school mentality, and I think it's foolish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm the one, I like coming into the office, and I struggle working from home.
Okay.
I think part of it too is like when I first started in real estate, like being in the office, like learning from other people, being able to like go down and talk to my broker,
right,
is a big part of it. And I think that's kind of like the piece that I enjoy the most about like being in the office.
Yep.
And then, you know, I mean, my business too is out in the
for sure
field and that sort of stuff too. But yeah, one of the other stats I read too was, I think it was close. It was like 75% of them, 75% of the workforce felt that they were more productive working from home.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. It's just, like I said, it's definitely not for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll do a Peloton ride in the middle of the day. You know, I'll do laundry. Like, you know, I'm working on my other businesses from time to time. Like, I'll record a podcast in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I think you have to be really good about time management. Like that's something that's definitely made me successful. Like I used to be like organized chaos, and in a way I still am. Like I've got sticky notes all over my desk, but I also live by my calendar. Yes, I work a 12-hour day every day, but you know, if I'm not busy on a Thursday, I'll go play golf. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing that's going to stop me from doing that if I've effectively managed my calendar.
Yeah.
So it's really about finding the right balance. And if you can be productive in any job, in any industry, like, that's the bottom line. If you're producing, no one is going to be breathing down your neck being like, okay, you left at 5:05 when, like, you should be here till 6.
Right.
Or, like, it shouldn't matter as long as you're being productive. I just think the workforce nowadays wants more flexibility, especially people with kids or, you know, maybe they're a caretaker, whatever it is. You know, you as an employer, you should be more flexible. That's all. As long as they're being productive.
Right.
Got to set the expectations, right?
Yeah. Have some boundaries there.
Yes.
I like it. This is kind of along the same lines, but 77% of workers say they've accepted a job without visiting the physical office.
Yeah, I believe that. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I first started in recruiting, we were so segmented. Like, I only focused on Chicago or the suburbs, right? Okay. And now, you know, of the 30 clients or whatever that we actively have, I think maybe 3 of them are in the Tampa Bay area. They're all over the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, so... And a lot of them are still hiring through Zoom without face-to-face interviews. And, you know, that you might not ever go into an office.
Yeah.
So yeah, 77% seems pretty accurate, you know?
Do you see, like, any issues with not having, like, face-to-face meetings when hiring or just hiring through Zoom?
I think it could be a little risky because people are good actors, you know, people are full of crap a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, I work in the people business, so I've been burned every way you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, maybe I have some trust issues, but I would say if you're going to hire someone without meeting them in person, you should at the very least check references.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I also think references are kind of a joke because the references that people are going to provide you
They're going to be good.
Of course. Like 90% of references are good.
Yeah.
If you can sneak in a backdoor reference, do a reference on them without you knowing. I know that's, like, sounds a little shady, but it's like, hey, I saw you guys work together at this company. How was your experience with this person? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that personally, but references are kind of outdated in my opinion.
Yeah. I like it. So let's talk about Wags and Wine a little bit. And from what I've seen, it's a really cool business, really cool idea. Like, where did it come from, and, like, what is it?
Yeah, crazy idea. When we were living in Chicago, probably back in 2014, you know, winters are terrible up there, and we've always been dog people, and we wanted to open a wine bar that was dog friendly, so we bought wagsandwine.com in, like, 2014, maybe it was even 2013. It was a long time ago. Again, entrepreneurial thing. Like, I just buy websites if I have a good idea sometime. Or I had a dream last night that I owned this dog company. And anyway, so we bought the web domain, did nothing with it for 10 years or however long it was. And tying it into the recruiting world, I was recruiting for a pet tech company in San Francisco. And I got pretty close with the GM. And she was a brilliant woman, entrepreneur, and she owned a subscription box company that she ultimately sold to Walmart for, I don't know, millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And this was during peak COVID that I was working with them. And somehow, some way, I had the idea that we should own Wags and Wine, or we should make Wags and Wine into a subscription box company. We were living in Oakland, you know, the Bay Area, and COVID in California was a different beast. Like, we were basically on lockdown for a year. It was wild.
Yeah.
Way different than Florida.
Yeah.
Hence why I'm back in Florida. But we were close to wine country. You know, Oakland's an hour from wine country. So we had visited wine country a lot. And during COVID, we were getting a lot of wine deliveries. We were getting a lot of dog treat deliveries, dog product deliveries. So my wife told me it was a dumb idea and I was crazy, but after she let it stew for a few weeks, I talked her into it, and the rest is history. So essentially, it's a subscription box company that features small production wineries and healthy dog treats and goodies from small producers as well.
Mm-hmm.
You get 2 bottles of wine and 3 to 5 dog products. You can do it a monthly, every other month, quarterly. Great gift box. But yeah, we had no idea what we were getting into. Now we make wine. We've become a winery.
Oh, cool.
We have a wine brand called Hair of the Dog, nice. Which you can also get in our subscription boxes, or you can buy it without being a dog owner if you just want to try our wine. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey, man. I knew nothing about the wine industry. I just liked wine. Yeah. And yeah.
I think it's interesting. Like, one thing that stood out to me, like having this conversation with you now, is the time that, you know, an idea comes up, and then the time that you execute or realize that idea. Like, in the society when we want everything like right now,
yeah,
like there's a lot of time there that, you know, ideas, like it takes time to kind of work through the kinks and
yeah,
you know, vet out the process.
Yeah, that's so true, man. I mean, there were several times where I wanted to give up. We were like, we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's been really cool to see the evolution of the product itself, the Wags Wine product. If I could go back and look at our first box to what we're shipping out now, the product is 10x better. You know, at first we had breakage, we had bottles, you know, exploding, and just things getting returned to sender, and just an absolute nightmare. And yeah, we have it all figured out. It's a great product now. And it's funny, you know, 2.5 years in, now it's really starting to grow. So it's cool to see that. But yeah, sometimes you just got to really go for it, and you got to really believe in it and continue down the path. It's tough being an entrepreneur, though. You know,
like, it's like,
you
blind
don't,
fate.
Yeah,
like,
it really is, man. It's crazy. And but you just got to really believe in it, and you got to keep going.
Yeah. What do you love about entrepreneurship the most?
I think it's the creativeness.
Yeah.
Like, I'm creative in some aspects, but in some I'm not creative at all. But I think it's the ability to create something and see it grow. And it's also the freedom, right? Like I like I said, I can go play golf on a Wednesday afternoon if I want to. But to me, it's the freedom as well. Like, not working for the man, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was always like,
there's some power in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't in the cards for me long term. You know, my father owned a tire store back in the day when he was younger. Like I said, my sister owns a hair salon, my brother owns a medical practice. So I think it's also something you could be born into. You know, or I mean, you can do anything you want to do. You don't need to be born into something, but
it definitely helps, like, having those mentors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you grow up in a household of entrepreneurs and you see people working for themselves, it's, you know, it's different. You know,
yeah,
you believe that you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having that belief, right? Going back to like that blind faith, like, that's a big part of it, right? Like, you have this idea, but I'm sure everybody has ideas, right? But they just don't execute on them because
they
don't have that belief.
I think people are just afraid to do things like that. You know, it's against the norm. Like, the way society has trained people is to not take risks and not do those things. It's like, you know, have a stable job, work 9 to 5. But in today's day and age, you can do anything with social media, and like,
mm-hmm,
you can start a website and you can start a business with minimal income or minimal investment, I should say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Going back to, so that you just reminded me of, like your recruiting business. Do you recruit like on Instagram? I saw some stuff like that where like people are finding jobs through Instagram, and I thought that kind of surprised me.
So that's one of my goals for this year, is to be better on social media.
Okay.
We have an Instagram account, and we have a LinkedIn page.
Yeah.
But I want to create more like free content on TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that, just giving people advice and building a brand and all that.
Yeah.
But we actually have made placements depending on the role. Like, I'm not going to go looking for a CFO on Instagram, right? But like, you know, maybe we're working on a social media marketing manager, or, you know, a receptionist, or anything really.
Yeah.
But certain industries I've found, or certain professions, people aren't that active on LinkedIn. So you have to get creative.
Oh, okay.
When you're looking. Like, I'm a big LinkedIn guy. I live in, like, LinkedIn is my Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm scrolling on LinkedIn just to
see
what's
going on. Is that typical, like corporate America is kind of like LinkedIn?
100%. Like, that is our bread and butter. It's actually our biggest expense too, to pay for premium LinkedIn, to be able to, you know, message anyone basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think social media is huge now, for sure. But it's also part of branding. But yeah, you can, long story short, you can definitely use Instagram and Facebook to find people.
Yeah.
You know, like, I found paralegals on Facebook. There's like, you know, you and I are older millennials, right?
Yeah.
So right. Like Facebook, I remember when Facebook was used to meet
just
people in your dorms.
Yeah.
Like you had to have a college email to get on Facebook. But now, you know, the like our parents and the older generations are big on Facebook still. So there's actually a Facebook group for anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a big Facebook group guy now. Like I, you know, I collected baseball cards and stuff now, or I used to, and I'm still just like interested in what's going on. So I'm in a baseball card group. I'm in like a paralegal group. Just when I get a paralegal job, I'll post it on Facebook and people reply and they message you. And like, you have to get creative to make sales, to find people, you know?
Yeah. Which is, it's challenging and, but also fun, right? Because you can, there's so many different ways to find jobs or to make a sale, whatever industry you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that kind of gives me a good point to make is, if I could give one piece of advice to someone who's looking for a job, it would be, and this is any industry, you have to network and you have to like market yourself, especially now in corporate America. Like sadly, there's been a ton of layoffs in 2023. There's just like overhiring in COVID led to a lot of layoffs, in my opinion, because more remote people and just companies overextended themselves, right? So there's a lot of really good people on the market right now, especially in the tech world. But I know this is true in a lot of industries. And I've done some consulting in the recruiting world on the internal side as well. So I've seen how many people are applying to these jobs at big companies and things like that. And we're talking hundreds of applications to one job.
Crazy.
And if you don't know someone, it's really hard to get seen. You know, like you have to be able to network and market yourself. So part two of my advice on that would be, if a recruiter reaches out to you on LinkedIn or Facebook, Instagram, whatever, even if you're happy in your job, talk to them, because you just never know when the rug is going to get pulled out from under you.
True.
You know, especially if you're working at a big company, man, like they're worried about their bottom line, and as shitty as it sounds, they're not worried about you and what bills you have to pay. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're really just a number to most of these companies.
Right.
So just take the call, like build your network, keep your LinkedIn profile up to date, and, you know, make friends. Like even if you're not looking, you should still talk to people, because you never know where that person's going to end up. And you might want to work at that company. You might get laid off. You might get fired. You might hate your boss, but like, it might not be right now, but it might be a year from now.
Yeah. That's like such great sound advice. I relate that to the podcast too. Like the conversation that I have on here, you know, I may not have a deal or something may not come up from this conversation, but you know, 3 years down the road, like something may come up. So it's just relationships, just connecting with people.
Yeah. 100%. I believe in that. And like you did not have an ulterior motive with this podcast. I know that, but right before we started, I was like, hey, I might be looking for a beach condo soon and I might want to sell my house, you know, and I'm going to give you an opportunity over Joe Schmo's real estate in St. Pete, just because I know who you are.
Right.
That. So I totally agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So where can people get more info on Cruit Group? Or Cruit Group. I'm going to, it's going to take me a minute to get past that.
Yeah. It's all good. All good.
And then Wags and Wine.
So Cruit Group, we have a website, just Cruit, C-R-U-I-T group.com. Or my email is ryan@cruitgroup.com. Wags and Wine, you can check us out on Instagram at Wags and Wine Box or wagsandwine.com. I know we've got some discount codes on wagsandwine.com right now. I believe you get 50% off your first box. So definitely go check us out on there for sure.
Sweet. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.